And we set the scene. We looked at who we might be dealing with. I suggested it was Solomon, but even if it wasn't Solomon, it was a super Solomon, somebody who claimed the wealth and the wisdom of Solomon. And we looked also at what it was all about. Why did we care? Well, because of the question, for what I put into life, what do I get back? And I promised you an answer, and you're ready now. I can see the whites of your eyes. Your eyes are definitely dilated enough to deal with the answer that Koheleth puts before us. We'll take a reading then. You can see the answer for yourselves. James is going to read for us Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11 to verse 26. James.
Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labour that I had laboured to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in the darkness, and I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool, forever seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labour which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labour wherein I have laboured, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went out about to cause my heart to despair of all the labour which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labour is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not laboured, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labour and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath laboured under the sun? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labour. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or also who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit.
Thanks for that, an excellent reading. Then I looked on all my labour and all that my hand had wrought. And did you notice what sort of answer Koheleth has for us? See, I'm practicing now for Uncle Roger tonight. We're going to start talking in terms of Koheleth rather than Solomon, just to be fair. Well, it was an answer that you might find surprising. I can see why people say Ecclesiastes is a miserable book. Stay away from it, lad. You've got far better things to do with your time. I hated life. My work was grievous. I hated my labour. My heart despaired. I saw great evil. My heart was vexed. Man's days of sorrow and his travail is grief. Fantastic, isn't it? Surprising. Because, well, remember who we're dealing with. Koheleth, super wise, super wealthy, capable of testing all the pleasures in life, of testing all the construction projects, doing all that life offers, and this is where he got to. £205 billion, £13.6 billion in the bank, and it was all miserable. Of course, the question is why? How could Koheleth, with all of that wisdom and all of that resource, arrive at that answer? Well, there is a key word. If you want, you can summarize the answer in one word. Anybody pick up what that word was as James read it for us? Here's a clue. It isn't on the screen. I've copied a lot of verses down there, a lot of miserable things. But there was a word that James kept reading to us, and it's a word that sums up Koheleth's answer for us. Begins with a V.
Vanity.
Absolutely. I looked on all the works my hands had wrought and the labour I had laboured to do, and behold, all was vanity. Vanity is a key word. 37 times it occurs in Ecclesiastes. You could say it's his favourite word. Anybody like to suggest what it means? It's key to our understanding, yeah?
Self-indulgent, and all he gets really is, I've achieved this much, and I can say that I've achieved this much.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
But no answer to why.
You're right. Let me show you this. This it revolves around the word, and what you've just said captures all really that's on the screen. The AV says vanity, the NIV says meaningless. New Jerusalem Bible, futility, 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 utter futility is how the New Jerusalem Bible starts Ecclesiastes. And if anybody reads past that verse, I'd be amazed. But that actually is the thrust of his answer. If you want me to sum it up for you, vanity, in, well, words of no syllable, I shall. It's this. That's it. Hebel, which is the Hebrew word, means transient, something that is fast, fleeting, and gone. You see, what I tried to do there on the screen is catch a man's breath in the early morning. And that's what Solomon says life is. Fast, fleeting, and gone. And there you have it then. That is the answer that the man of all time gives to the question of all time. Will you roll up your sleeves and make your fortune in London? Will you become a skilled person? Will you have the hands of a surgeon? Will you hold life in your hands? Will you pack up and go to Quebec and be a goat herder and get back to nature? The answer that Koheleth gives is, do you know, it doesn't actually matter what you do. Because life is vanity. Life is not adequate. It singularly fails to satisfy the mind of man. And faced with that outcome, I can understand why people find Ecclesiastes a most miserable book. Of course, he's not on his own. Other people came to the same conclusion. Psalm 39, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And the New Testament as well. What is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The absolute definition of vanity, Hebel in Ecclesiastes. Actually, though, what we'll find, I hope, is that Koheleth, puts this idea of life being vanity into context in Ecclesiastes. See, what we have going here is well, it's a sequence of events that we need to try and understand as we get to grips with the book. Koheleth has asked the question, what profit do I get for life, for all that I put into it? Then he's given us an answer. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And gone. And what he does now, in the rest of Ecclesiastes 2 that James read to us, is to test. See, Koheleth is a scientist. He's an experimenter, and he tests and tests and tests again the findings, the conclusion that he lays before us. Have a look at Ecclesiastes 2, verse 12. He says, I turn myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Now, there's interesting. See, he's telling us why he's testing there. He's testing for the man that coming after the king. In other words, what he's actually done here in the early chapters is, of Ecclesiastes, is say, look at me. Look at my qualifications, look at my super wisdom, my super wealth. I'm going to test all that life is for you. Are you going to listen? And he's testing now for the man that would come after the king, us who follow that which he's tested. And you might expect him to test the very things that he is familiar with. Wisdom and wealth. That's exactly what he does. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 13. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. But there's some good news. Let me show you what he's just said. He's just likened wisdom to these glasses. He said that the fool, when you put it on upside down, then look like a chicken. He said that a fool has no eyes in his head. He can't see where he's going. Of course, I can't see my notes, so it would be a very short youth weekend. In other words, though, if I put my glasses on, then, well, that's wisdom. Now I know where I'm going. What he says when he tests wisdom is that the wise man has the power of direction. So wisdom is a good thing, he pronounces. Of course, there is a problem though, isn't there? Because as he continues to test, well, he finds that things aren't all good for wisdom. Verse 14 again, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity, is code word, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool for ever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. What Koheleth does, very much consistently through Ecclesiastes, is to test little bits of his theory. What he's just done there is tested wisdom. He found that it was good. It was the power of sight and direction. But where did he find it ended? Anybody notice? Where did he end in verse 16, verse 17 there? As he followed that little path, he found that... Anybody notice? Oblivion, absolutely. I hated life. Sorry, where is it? Yeah, the end of verse 16. How dieth the wise man as the fool? And so his reaction to that little test is that he hated life. He saw no sense in it. It was grievous unto him. That's where wisdom got him. Well, what he does then is he continues and he tests wealth. Verse 18, Ecclesiastes 2. Yea, I hated all my labour which I have taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? And again he concludes, it's vanity. So when he tests wealth, well, he comes to the same conclusion. Now we know that Koheleth enjoyed his wealth, because he tells us that in verse 10. What my eyes desired I kept not from them, I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in my labour. And yet when he tests it further on, verse 18 and 19, he finds that it is vanity. What hath a man of all his labour wherein he hath laboured under the sun, all his days of sorrows and his travail grief, this is vanity. And the result, which James took us to right at the end there, have a look at verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labour. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. And so there it is then, when the greatest intellect that has ever walked this earth dealt with the biggest question that we can ever ask, what's it all about? There's his answer, verse 24. Folks, you might as well eat, drink, have a great time, because there's nothing more to life than that. Really? Is that what Koheleth ended up deciding? It's that most strange conclusion, isn't it? An extraordinary answer. Now, well, you see, so far I have failed you. Because to unlock Ecclesiastes, you need to know the code. And there is a code, and it puts the whole thing into context and makes it make sense. And the code, for those of you who like crosswords, is on the screen. There is a phrase in Ecclesiastes that Koheleth uses to put everything in context. And it's there, this code, in every one of those verses. Anybody see a phrase that repeats in the question, in the answer, and in his reactions to where wisdom takes him and where wealth takes him? Come on, consciousness test, yes.
Under the sun.
Under the sun, fantastic. Under the sun. What do you think it means? Is Koheleth telling us that this answer is for those who live in the Mediterranean?
I think he's saying that it's the tangible life, but there might be something that Paul presumably there is something.
That's a good answer. I go with a lot of that. I think there's a little bit more to it than that. This phrase, under the sun, 29 times, that's even more than vanity, isn't it? 24 was Hebel, vanity. There is actually, he gives us the code that you can code break. Have a look at Ecclesiastes 6, verse 12. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 12. Who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow, for who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Now, there's two phrases there, and they mean exactly the same. And it happens again in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 9. See if you can notice the other phrase that's coming out here. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labour which thou takest under the sun. You notice me emphasising there, in this life. And under the sun is a code for very much what you said, the observable. If I were to go maybe a little more, I would say this. He is examining a life without God. And that is the essence of Ecclesiastes. He is the wisest man that ever walked the earth, asking the most important question that can be asked. But he sets himself a context. What is life? What do I get from life for all that I put into it under the sun, if I keep God out of the equation? Don't believe me? Just look, Ecclesiastes 1 verse 3. What profit hath a man of all his labour which he taketh under the sun? Code, without God in the equation. And the answer, verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, all the labour I had laboured to do, and behold, all was vanity, vexation of spirit, there was no profit under the sun. And in all the most important places, and all the most important conclusions, he reminds us, he puts his code He tells us that all of this is, well, it's with God, not in the equation. And that's why I feel that this is so relevant to you. Because of course, well, you're making decisions now which will define the rest of your life. We talked about some of them. Will you be in the city? Will you be a big earner? Will your hands be hands that hold life? Will you be a goat herder in Quebec? Will you have God in your life? And the answer, sorry, the question that Koheleth puts before us is that very question. What does life have to offer me if I don't have him in my life? Actually, there's something else that we need to note right at this point. You see, what we basically have in this session is two answers. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 11, then I looked on all my works, that's the answer without God in the equation. It's vanity. Then he brings God into the equation at the end of chapter 2, verse 24. This is the answer with God. The other side of the equation. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, but he should make his soul enjoy good in his labour. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God, for who can eat, who can hasten hereunto more than I? So his answer with God in the equation is eat, drink, enjoy the fruit of your labour. Well, actually, it isn't. It's misleading. And as you decide whether you want God in your life or out of your life, remember this. The conclusion that Koheleth reaches isn't just, if God's in your life, have a good time. It's this. God allows us to enjoy life. See, the AV is rotten. Terrible translation. This is what he actually says. There is no good in man that he should eat and drink, that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labour. Who can eat or who can hasten apart from it, without him? And Koheleth's conclusion is this. You can choose to live without God, you can choose to live under the sun, but don't assume that you can have a good time. Because the gift of having a good time comes from God as well. And as you decide whether you want God in or out of the equation, that's something for you to bear in mind. That, well, God gives us the ability to enjoy. Don't believe me? Let's test your general knowledge again. Who's that? Victoria Beckham. Most miserable woman I've ever met in me. Well, I've never met her, but every time I see her, she's got a face as if somebody slapped it with a fish. Terrible. And she's worth millions. Miserable, miserable. Who's that? Britney Spears? Yeah. She's worth a lot of money. She's got awful trouble at the moment, isn't she? She's not enjoying life so much at present. Who's that? Who? Amy Winehouse. Exceptional talent. Brilliant voice. Going to be very wealthy. Seems to be in the news for all the wrong reasons. See, you will look around you and you will see people who appear to have it all and still appear to be in a mess. And even for the number one, there is no guarantee for Bill Gates in his life that it is all going to be roses. And it's all going to be fantastic. Talk to the IRS. They've had billions off him already. He's a very unhappy man. And that is very much in line with what Koheleth observes. He says, have God in your life or not, but remember this, the ability to enjoy life itself comes from God. And we need to remember that as well in our decision-making process. Let's have a bit of oxygen through the system. We're going to sing hymn 141.